Okay, so last time we, this is like the third one that we're doing on kind of the history of the written Torah. Last time we talked about kind of internal issues in terms of the writing of the Sefer Torah over time. Now we're going to talk about authorship issues. So to start, we'll just look at one specific section of the Torah, which has, you know, kind of come up already in passing a few times. A few people have mentioned it. If you guys have it on your phones, it's on page 4, I think, of what I sent out. I sent it on the WhatsApp, so everybody got it. You just have to go to it if you have. Oh, that's okay. It's the section that says authorship issues.
And the possibility of personal mistake.
Yeah,
why didn't it come through, Rabbi?
It's in the WhatsApp.
I'm in the WhatsApp.
So there's a link there. You didn't get it. It's because you're not connected to the Wi-Fi.
Go outside. Oh, no, that won't help. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it, David. So the pasuk at the end, the psukim at the end of the Torah, this is the last, starting the last 12 psukim, really, the last chapter. It says, Moses went up from the steps of Moab to Mount Nebo to the summit of Pisgah opposite Jericho, and the Lord showed him the whole land, Gilad, as far as Dan. That's the beginning of the last perek. And then, this is the eighth to last pasuk in the Torah, so Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there, in the land of Moab, at the command of the Lord. And then there are more psukim. He buried him in the valley in the land of Moab, near Beit Bor, and the Torah ends with, and Israelites bewailed Moses in the steps of Moab for 30 days. What's the problem?
Moses is dead.
Moses is dead? Who's writing this? What's going on here? Okay, so that's kind of the that's the 2 minutes before the beginning of the episode to kind of set the scene. So now we go into the episode for real. The Gemara in Baba Basra gives us the authorship of all of the books of Tanakh. So open Gemara, you should know it by heart. It's on Tesvav Amin Aleph. You don't have to know the Gemara by heart, but you should know where it is. It's on Tesvav Amin Aleph. That's where it is. Everything. Who wrote the scriptures? The Gemara says Moses wrote his own book. That's five books of Moses. And the portion of Bilam and Eov. Now, this is very interesting, that the portion of Bilam is kind of separated. Why do you think that is? Why is the portion of Bilam separated out from the rest of the Torah? So the two options. One option is that there's another book that we don't know about, like the book of Bilam,
right,
which we just has been lost in history. And the other is that it's talking about Parshat Balak. And the reason why you might have thought that he didn't write it is because all of Parshat Balak takes place elsewhere. Bnei Yisrael are kind of a secondary character in Parshas Balak. It's all happening. It's a conversation between Bilam. How does Moshe know about all this stuff? So you might think, you know, this is just hearsay. How does he know about all that stuff? No, he did write about it, and he wrote it through Ruach HaKodesh with Hashem. What about Eov? Why are they identifying? Why does Moshe have to write Eov? So the truth is that this is a fascinating Gemara, because the Gemara has about, if I remember correctly, about eight options about who wrote the book of Eob and in what time period it was written. Everything ranging from the time period of Yaakov, Avinu, to like way later, including Moshe in the middle, and including the possibility that Eob never was not a real person, that the whole book is a fictional account and it's just kind of an exercise in philosophy. I sent out the link. So if you want to look at what we're looking at on the WhatsApp group. So that's an option as well. But this one identifies Moshe as having written Eov, which is very interesting. Now, it continues, Joshua wrote the book which bears his name, that's Yoshua, and the last eight verses of the Pentateuch. Oh. So now we see right away, kind of off the cuff, that Yoshua is the author of the last eight psukim of the Torah, which makes sense, but it's definitely something that we need to revisit. Shmuel wrote the book which bears his name, that's Sefer Shmuel, and the book of Judges, and Ruth. So Ruth we know he wrote, pretty much, because it's basically history leading up to the birth of David. That's why it was interesting to Shmuel to write it. The book of Judges is everything that came before Shmuel, so he's writing all that down, and he's writing Shmuel, presumably, they're claiming he wrote Shmuel Aleph and Shmuel Bet, despite the fact that he also dies, right, in Shmuel Aleph. Not even at the end, kind of like in the middle of Shmuel Aleph. So it continues. David wrote the book of Psalms, including in it the work of the elders, namely Adam, Malchitzedek, Avram, Moshe, Haman, Yedutun, Asaf, and the three sons of Korach, right? If you ask any child who wrote Tehillim, what are they going to say? David, right? But that's not completely accurate. He did compose, he did redact everything. He put everything together the same way that Rabbi Yehuda Anasi put together the Mishnayot. But he wasn't the author of the Mishnayot. David didn't write all the Pirkei Tehillim. I mean, some of them he did. So if it's Mizmor with David, then that's his. But many of them are not written by him. Some of them say Mizmor, right? Mizmor LaAsaf or Tehillah LaMoshe, right? And things like that. So he's not the author of all of them. He just put them together. Yirmiyahu wrote the book which bears his name, the Book of Clings and Lamentations. So Yirmiyahu is the author of Eicha, that's well known as well. Although the third parak of Eicha was supposedly the last, is the one that's the latest. When you open up any art scroll Eicha, they explain this whole thing at the beginning, that the third parak of Eicha he wrote actually much later, and then it was kind of inserted in the middle. Chizkiah and his colleagues wrote Isaiah. It's interesting, Yeshayahu didn't write his own book. Proverbs, the Song of Songs, and Ecclesiastes. This is kind of surprising as well. Why? Because who's supposed to have written Shir Shirim and Kohelet? Shlomo. So Shlomo doesn't get mentioned in here. So presumably he's one of the friends, I guess. The men of the Great Assembly wrote Yechezkel, the 12 minor prophets, Daniel, and the Scroll of Esther. Hold on 1 second. Yeah, Yechezkel, the 12 minor prophets, Daniel, and the Scroll of Esther. Ezra wrote the book that bears his name and the genealogy of the Book of Chronicles. Ezra is the author of all of that stuff. This confirms the opinion of Rav, since Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav, Ezra did not leave Babylon to go up to Israel until he had written his own genealogy. All right, skip this part. Okay. The master has said, here's, get back to it. Joshua wrote the book which bears his name and the last 8 verses of the Chumash. This is a big deal. Right? What's the Rambam's 8th Ikar? That Moshe wrote everything by the word of God. This is a big deal. So the statement is in agreement with the authority who says that the 8 verses in the Torah were written by Yehoshua. Right? There is an opinion. There's apparently a machloket Tanaim over there. There's an opinion that says Yehoshua wrote it. As it has been taught, it says Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there. Now, is it possible that Moses, being dead, could have written the words Moses died there? The truth is that up to this point, Moses wrote. From this point on, Yehoshua wrote. So Moshe wrote up to the last psukim, as the psukim, and then Yehoshua wrote the last 8 psukim. That's one opinion. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Or Rabbi Nechemiah. But Rabbi Shimon disagreed, and he said, can we imagine the scroll of law being short of one word? It says at the end, take this book of the law. Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, take this book of the law, the entire thing. That Moshe wrote the whole thing. No, what we must say is that up to this point, the Holy One, blessed be He, dictated and Moses repeated and wrote. And from this point, here are the famous lines, God dictated and Moses wrote with tears. That's a translation of the Gemara. The Gemara literally says, Mikan ve'elach Moshe katav bedema, which is with a tear. Okay? As it says of another occasion, then Baruch answered them, and he pronounced all these words to me with his mouth, and I wrote them with ink in the book. Fine. Now it continues and finds a halachic nafkamina for whether or not Yehoshua or Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the last 8 psukim. What's at stake over here? And why? You know, if you didn't have this Gemara, and I showed, open up the Chumash, and I said, look, it says that Moshe died last day, and then there are 7 more psukim. How would you explain it to me? If I said to you, what, is Moshe lying? Moshe wrote that he died. Isn't he lying or something like that? What would you say to me? You know,
yeah, because he writes about Adam
Arishon,
he wasn't there either, right?
Like,
I mean,
in those days, he was just a big scary general.
Right. So, you would say, what would you say? You would say, he had Ruach HaKodesh.
Why would you want that?
That's exactly what I would say. And in fact, it's what Rabbeinu Bachai says at the bottom of that page. Rabbeinu Bachai says that. He says, what's the problem? Ein li tma im yichtov Moshe v'yamat sham Moshe eved Hashem. After all, ayah katov masha atid liyot. He's telling you the future. So he tells the future all the time.
And he wasn't there for all of it.
He's writing things in the past that he wasn't there for. He can write things in the future that he's not going to be there for. Hashem tells him, write it. He writes it. What's the big deal? But you know what? Chazal didn't say that. It's right there. It's low-hanging fruit. Yeah. Apparently, that wasn't satisfactory for them. It wasn't satisfactory for them to have Moshe Rabbeinu write Vayamat Sham Moshe because it didn't. He couldn't write it because it didn't happen yet. It's really not clear to me, but we have to put it to the side because they didn't give that answer. And they could have. It's not. It doesn't take rocket science to come up with that answer.
Everything else he wrote at that point was true.
was
point.
True at that point?
Right.
Is that completely correct?
I mean, apart from he says that the thing is all cool just until this day.
Exactly. Unless...
Well, until this day was... I mean, which was true at that point in time when he wrote it.
Maybe. Maybe.
Until this day continues.
Yeah, we're going to have to revisit that point. But let's say Chazal, for some reason, are not satisfied with saying that he's writing about the future. They want to make sure that everything is true at the moment that he writes it. So they say that Yehoshua wrote the last day Psukim. What does that do to the integrity of the Torah? This is acknowledged, meaning this isn't something that some professor in some university is saying. This is Gemara in Baba Basra.
If we believe that
an entire opinion,
the Moshe was a novi of a higher caliber,
yeah.
Then and anything that he wrote down in the Torah was also be of a higher caliber. Therefore, if Yehoshua took his place for last day Pesukim, no, the last day Pesukim in theory are of less.
And that's how the Gemara concludes. The Gemara concludes that according to the opinion that Yehoshua wrote it, you have to do special things for the last day Pesukim. You have to have one person read it. You can't break it up. You have to find or alternative. There are different. There are opposing views in the Acharonim how to read this Gemara. Either you have to have somebody really great read it, because it says you have to have somebody really great read it. Either because you don't want people to think that it's of lesser value, or the opposite. How is it the opposite? I don't remember.
Differentiate between the text before.
Yeah, either way, this is a big deal. How do we deal with it? So first of all, what's interesting is that Ibn Ezra, he thinks that once the gates are open, he pushes them the rest of the way open. He says the last 12 psukim. Now, he doesn't say explicitly. This is one of the famous things in Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra writes, Lefi da'ati, actually, you know what he does say explicitly. Ki mizeh pasuk katav Yehoshua. This is from Vayal Moshe. This is the Ibn Ezra, Avram Ibn Ezra. This is the right at the beginning of Perek Lamed Daled. What? Right at the beginning of Perek Lamed Daled, he writes, "Ki bazeh mimzeh pasuk katav Yehoshua, ki achar sha'ala Moshe lo katav, ubederech nevuah katavo." So he says, if we're going to say that the fact that Moshe is writing that he's dead is a problem, then the fact that he went up the mountain is also a problem, because that's basically the beginning of the story of him dying. So for the Ibn Ezra, he says, logically speaking, he should have stopped for this. Yeah, he's the first source. Yeah, he would be the first source for this particular thing. Yes, but of course, then again, Ibn Ezra is not—he's not writing. I don't think he's interested in the halachic nafkaminas for this per se. In general, Ibn Ezra is a very interesting figure because he's a pashtan, which means that he, for the most part, ignores midrashim when it comes to pshat in the psukim of stories. But with the caveat that any time a halacha comes up, he says we have to follow what the rabbi said, because they know how to do drashot in terms of halacha. He says, I'm comfortable, you know, explaining stories, ignoring midrashic readings, but when it comes to halacha, halacha is halacha, and that's it. A very interesting figure. So Ibn Ezra is the first one to do that, and Rav Chaim Ibn Attar was not happy. Who's Rav Chaim Ibn Attar? It's the Orach Chaim. It came about 500 years later. When you go in the old city, so when you go, when you're leaving the old city, there's a shul on the left side. As you go up, there's the Orach Chaim shul. His shul. He lived, I shouldn't say that. I'm not absolutely certain that he was in that shul. Yeah, I know that he lived in Eretz Yisrael. I can't say that was definitely his shul. As you're going, when you come out of the Rova, right? So you can either go left, and go through the parking lot to go out of Shar
Tzion.
I never know the names of the Shar Shar Tzion. Or you can go up the steps, right, by Chabad. You know, you go up, the Chabad is on your right, you go up the steps, and then you kind of curve, and then there's this long walk uphill.
Coffee
so on your left, right, and then on your left is a shul, and that's the Orach Chaim shul. I don't know if it's for sure like his original shul, but I think it is, because he lived in Eretz Yisrael, and you know it's given chashivas. So that was, I think, his shul. He was a big Kabbalist, and he made it in the Mikros Gedolos. So he's big. He was not happy with Ibn Ezra.
Is not on that street. The street name is.
We went up. It is. It's on the it's on the left as you walk.
Today, and I saw the name. And I was wondering. It just happened. I saw that name.
It's sure that shul is definitely there. I've been inside.
On that street.
It's there on your left as you walk. Yeah. So the Orach Chaim says, on the words Ad Hayom Hazeh, So he says, Hem divrei Hashem shaya omer u Moshe kotev. Says Hashem dictated this to Moshe, and Moshe wrote it. Ukmo ken ma'amarim akodmim laze v'yamat sham Moshe v'yikbor oto. As well as all the other psukim are all from Moshe. V'harit ra'iti laharava the Ribbon Ezra shekatav sheYeshua katav ken ve'ein ra'ui lichtov kadvrim ha'ila b'pashtei aktuvim. You shouldn't write these things when you're giving pshat. Shemoshe lo yishlim ha'sefer k'torah kemasaro le'leviim. That Moshe didn't finish it and give it over to Leviim as the Torah says he did. Shebo'znai shamati b'mnei amenu, because I heard other Jews mistabchim b'davar zeh. And it leads to kfira. That we change things. That's what the non-Jews say. He says, we take the position that Moshe wrote the whole thing, and he finished it with a tear, whatever that means, which we haven't explained yet.
Where he starts off and makes it sound like, don't say this because it leads to something else, which would be kefirah. This is a necessary kefirah.
Yeah.
It will lead to something else as kefirah. Therefore, because of that, we have to go really firm. We have to take the firm approach because the less firm approach in quotation marks.
No,
would lead to kefirah.
I think the most accurate presentation would be, you shouldn't write these things in public. I acknowledge that there is another opinion in the Gemara,
yeah,
which we don't paskin like anyways.
Or we shouldn't talk about it.
It's definitely saying we shouldn't talk about it.
We shouldn't talk about it because it could lead to kefirah.
Yeah, for sure.
But that itself is a kefirah.
No, because there's an opinion. There's an opinion like that, even though we don't paskin like it. Although the Ibn Ezra didn't take it further. He took a step further by going four psukim earlier, albeit from on a logical basis. But the Gemara didn't. Now, what's interesting is that this is a not often quoted Ramban. The Ramban writes in Parshas Ha'azinu, "Va'ata kitvu lachem et hashira azot." Parshas Vayelech, really. Al derech apshat lemoshe v'yoshua shnehem yitzaveh sheichatfua. That Hashem gave the tzivui to write it to both Moshe and Yehoshua. After all, it says va'ata kitvu lachem et hashira azot. Now, I mean, I would have said that that's the whole of Bnei Yisrael, because ultimately Chazal understand that that's the mitzvah to write Sefer Torah in general. But if you read it al pi pshat, that it's talking about Shirat Ha'azinu, so who could Hashem be talking to? So the Ramban says maybe he's talking to just Yehoshua and Moshe. Ki ratza lasot Yehoshua nevi'o b'chayei Moshe. There's a value in having Yehoshua being involved in this writing of the Sefer Torah, because there needs to be a continuity. There needs to be some kind of transition. V'inei Moshe k'tava v'Yehoshua omeid v'mo v'korev v'oreh. So he pulls back at the last second, the Ramban. He says, what happened? Moshe was writing it, and Yehoshua is looking over his shoulder. V'zetam v'yichtov Moshe. And that's why it says that Moshe was the one who wrote it. But so to speak, they're writing it together. It's pair programming. It's a form of both of them doing it together. So that's the Ramban. The Abba Banel, actually, this is very interesting. The Abba Banel says, don't misread the Ramban. Ein hakavana sheshneihem yiktivu ota al sefer Torah Elokim, ki besefer Torah chalila sheikhtov Moshe or Yehoshua afilu ot achad. So on the one hand, the Abba Banel, right, writing in the 13th, 14th century, I don't remember, he says, don't think that the Ramban is saying that Yehoshua and Moshe are writing it together. That's definitely not what he's saying. You can't say that, chalila to say that. Meanwhile, you should know that the Abba Banel, not in the Torah, but elsewhere in Nach, says that there were things that were written not by, I think it's Sefer Yehoshua. He says that there are things that happened Sefer Yehoshua that were not written by Yehoshua. The stakes are obviously lower, but he does say that. And he feels fine saying that, even though the Gemara Bava Basra doesn't say anything like that, because he says they open up the door already, and saying it on the level of Navi is not as big a deal. In terms of how, let's go step by step. Let's finish this issue first. So I'm not going to say everything inside, but there are lots of opinions about how to understand the Gemara. What does that mean? Even if you say Moshe wrote it by demo, what does that mean? He wrote it in a tear. Like, how does that help anything? What does it mean? So there's a lot of...
He was sad.
That, well, so, good. Anyway. So the Marsha has two approaches, actually. The Marsha has two approaches. One of them, which he rejects, and the Kli Chemda thinks he can't even have taken it seriously. One approach is very interesting. He says that the issue is not—it's not really an issue for Moshe even to write it, because he didn't say it out loud; he only wrote it. What does that mean? Most of the time, how was Moshe writing the Sefer Torah? What does the Gemara say? How did he write it? Hashem said it to him. He said it, and then he wrote it. That's how it went. Hashem said it to him. He said it out loud, and then he wrote it.
He said it to the
Am. No, he said it to Hashem, meaning he said it back to Hashem, and then he wrote it afterwards. Okay? For these psukim, the theory is he was crying, so he couldn't say it out loud, so he would only write it. And because he was only writing it, then in some way it's less of a lie. Right? So that's what the Maharsha's first attempt at explanation is. So since he's only writing, it's not a lie. Now, the Kli Chemda jumps in here and he says, what do you say?
Would it be a lie?
Why would it be a lie? Because he's saying Moshe died, and he's writing that.
Yeah, but it's the future. It's not a lie.
Again, I agree with you, and the Rebbe Mechaya says exactly that, but the Chazal felt that it was a lie.
Okay.
So that's why it's a lie, but if he only writes it, then it's okay. What does that mean? So the Kli Chemda says, what does that mean? That means that it's not a lie when you write things? Are you saying that when you speak out loud, there's a lie, but if I were to write something, even if it wasn't true, that's a lie? That's ridiculous. So the Kli Chemda just rejects that out of hand. He says, the Maharsha couldn't have even taken this seriously. But then he has another theory, the Maharsha. He says, once he started crying, that meant that he was so sad that it was like he was dead. That's his preferred explanation, the Maharsha. Okay? A little romantic. The moment he started crying, that was the beginning of his death, so to speak. So to write Vayamad Moshe at that point is not a big deal. Now, what about all the stuff about him going up the mountain? That also didn't happen yet. I don't know. But that's the Maharsha's attempted explanation. Let me backtrack for a second. That's the Maharal's explanation. I should have corrected myself. That's the Maharal's explanation. I want to mention the Gra, which brings us all the way back to how we kind of started this shiurim about what the Sefer Torah really is. The Gra quotes our Ramban from all the way at the beginning. Does everybody remember what the Ramban says about the letters of the Sefer Torah?
Yeah, written in a specific order.
But really, ultimately,
it's one name of God,
right? It's really one name of God, and it could, in theory, be kind of reordered and reorganized in a different way. So the Gra says, we've been reading the Gemara incorrectly. The Gemara says, Moshe katav bedema. And we said that means in a tear, because that's how you translate bedema. But there's another way to translate bedema. What's another way to translate bedema? Dalid mem ayin, in the Mishnah and in the Gemara all the time, actually refers to something that's meduma. What's meduma?
Mixed up.
So bedema could be mixed up. Now, how does that help? So the Gra says, for all of the psukim until he got to the last eight psukim, Moshe write everything as we see it today. All the letters in proper place with words. For the last eight psukim, Moshe just wrote scrambled letters, so that it wouldn't actually say coherent sentences from a human perspective. All the letters for the Torah were there, which was sufficient. And Yoshua's job was afterwards to take those letters and rearrange them. So in that way, the Gra actually says they're both right. Moshe wrote it, and Yoshua wrote it. That's what he wants to say. And it's based on the theory that the letters of the Torah have their own sanctity, and it's worth it for Moshe to actually write the letters on the parchment, even if they don't actually say, if they're not written in the same way that we have them written now. It can still be said to be written by Moshe Rabbeinu. I always love that pshat. Even if we don't actually, we can't really accept the Ramban and still say that our Sifrei Torah have the same weight. Nowadays, because we know that there were changes, but I always love that shot either way. That's what the Gra says. Just so you know, there are other cases of Rishonim and Achronim, really more Rishonim, saying that there were changes in the Sifrei Torah. You mentioned before.
There were six changes. The letters are different.
You mean Menatzbach? What do you mean?
The words that were different from over time in the Gemara. In the
Chumash. We talked about that, but which Gemara? Gemara says that? The Gemara says that?
No.
That were changed?
I think so.
I know the Gemara says, we know that the Gemara says that they lost the Menatzbach, which are the end letters, and the Nevi'im had to rediscover them. Like they forgot which letters have to be sof letters. Menatzbach is Mem Nun Tzadi Pei Chaf, which are the letters that have end letters. Just a weird Gemara. At some point, we forgot which ones they were, and then the Nevi'im had to rediscover them. Exactly, that means kind of confusing. I'm not aware of a Gemara saying explicitly. Oh, maybe you're talking about the Gemara Kedushin that we talked about last week, that they were not Bekiyin B'chaseros V'yaseros, that they didn't know Sometimes if there's a vav or a yud that's supposed to be there or not supposed to be there, that they weren't expert in whether or not those letters are supposed to be there. Maybe you're talking about that. Definitely no specific number. But let's say, for example, Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, who was one of the early Ashkenazi Rishonim, so in his commentary, he writes in, I think, more than one place, that thing there were things in the Torah that were written afterwards, and his example is, for example, every time it says Va'az, right? Va'az means, and then. Now, why would you write Va'az? Now, Az Yashir Moshe is not so hard, but in other places where it says, like, and then the king in the land was whatever, and it's, like, during Moshe's time. So who's writing that? Like, why would Moshe write Va'az? So, obviously, there are other ways around it, but Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid said, in his commentary, he wrote, this was written by somebody later on. Or, for example, there's a record, this is a little bit more radical, but there's a record of, in Sefer Bereishis, it gives you a list of kings. And it says, Lifnei Moloch Melech Yisrael, right? Like, these were the kings that were kings before the kings of the Jews. When was that written? Could Moshe have written that? So, I mean, also maybe not. So this is what he writes. Rav Moshe Feinstein said these are all obviously forgeries, and they basically censored the whole Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid's commentary on the Chumash based on that, because he said he couldn't have written this. There's no way he could have written it, even though others have said the same things throughout the centuries. So these things exist, and we should be aware of them.
What's the big issue with Yehoshua having written the last Pesukim?
Well, the Gemara's issue with it is that the Chumash says, can you give me a Chumash? With Dvarim? The Gemara says, the Torah says that Moshe took the Sefer Torah and put it in the Aron HaKodesh. So the Gemara says, what do we think? He put in a puzzle Sefer Torah, a partially written Sefer Torah? That's what the Torah says.
Well, then the Torah says that he took it.
Well, that's include. How could he have written that? How could he have, as if it says Moshe put it in?
He puts the Sefer Torah in the Aron Kodesh.
Okay, but how could you, again, if you have a problem of him telling something which hasn't happened yet, it's impossible for him to write. He put it in.
He wrote a bedema, whatever that means.
Was that a part of the last episode?
No, clearly not. Oh. No, it's not.
So, Marashach, that pasuk, it was written
after
it it wasn't written before it. It wasn't written after it happened.
Because, yeah.
By definition.
Yeah, I hear you. It gets confusing.
It had to have been written before. If it was
written
after. If it was put in complete, that pasuk must have been written.
Vayichtov Moshe. Here. This, I mean, it's more striking. Vayichtov Moshe Tashira Azot Bayamahu Vayilamdad Bnei Yisrael. That's in Parshas Vayelech. That's before Parshas Hazino, meaning that hasn't even happened yet. Vayitzavet Yehoshua Benun Vayomer Chazak Ve'amatz Vayikichalot Moshe Lichtov Et Divrei HaTorah Hazot Al Sefer Ad Tumam until its end.
And that's because it's what does it mean by this Sefer?
But Ad Tumam.
Okay.
Vayitzav Moshe Et Alevim Nosei Aron Berit Hashem Leimor Lakoch Et Sefer HaTorah Zeh ושמתם אותו מצד ברית מצד אהרון ברית השם אלוקיכם והיה שם בכלל לעד. This is the Sefer Torah, and he wrote it till its end.
Okay, so an eight
psukim
added afterwards.
It seems strange.
It seems strange.
It seems strange. Meaning the whole Gemara is very strange. What about from these words? Why from Vayichtov Moshe?
Wasn't it as in the
maybe they didn't exist.
The thing like in Vayelach, as in when he gives like the brachas, he gives the end of Vayelach, isn't it?
The brachas are in Vesa Bracha.
No, it's something else. Isn't it like that pasuk is referring to something that happens in Vayelach? I don't know, we never really did that. Like Vayelach in primary school, so I don't remember Vayelach that well.
Yeah, I mean, the stuff in Vayelach is clearly talking about that future, because it says that he wrote the song down, and the song is in the next parsha.
Isn't there another song in Vayelach?
I don't think so.
I'm doing that from ignorance. I have to pretend.
Yeah, I mean, even the last psukim of Vayelach, Vayidaber Moshe Vayazei Kol Kal Yisrael at Divrei Hashira Azot Ad Tumam. I mean, unless there's a different Shira than he was talking about here, but they're referred to as Shira Hazot, it doesn't seem likely. So yeah, the whole thing is kind of confusing, and why the Gemara picks on specifically last day Psukim as opposed to everything else that came before it.
That's a real big lie.
It's hard. Right, it's hard.
But obviously, the rabbis at the time then had. It wasn't that difficult for them to accept that maybe Yeshua wrote the last day Psukim.
It wasn't difficult for Rabbi Yeshua to accept it. Rabbi Shimon was. Yeah. You're right. From a dogmatic perspective, no. Because, you know, let's be honest, the dogmas weren't so, you know, it doesn't seem like they were so dogmatic back then. Or about certain things they did. Look, the beginning, the Mishnah in Sanhedrin that says anybody who says that this whole book wasn't given min shamayim.
No, but that's what I was saying. If what does one need to believe? Presumably, one needs to believe that the Torah was given by God. That's the
right. So let's return to that. We talked about the eighth ikar of the Rambam, right? The Rambam says that a Jew has to believe that Moshe, that the Sefer Torah that we have now is the Sefer Torah that Moshe wrote. So we poked holes in that last time, right? If you take it all the way, that every single word of the Sefer Torah that we have in the Ark right now is the same as what Moshe Rabbeinu received from God at the end of the 40 years, there's a lot of problems with that because there are letter changes, we know. So we dropped it down to, okay, when Moshe Rabbeinu received the Torah, everything that he wrote then, he received from God, right? Now it looks like we might have to drop it down even a little bit more and say everything that Moshe claimed to have heard from Hashem, he did hear from Hashem. But there may have even been things that are written in the Torah that didn't even come from Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what, you know, and in general, you have to say that the Sefer Torah that we have is anything that claimed that Moshe is claiming to hear from Hashem, that he did hear from Hashem. The content, so to speak.
The one chapter of the Gemara.
Yes.
I mean, the Rambam could be from
the whole. He could. But once you have the differences in the letters, you know, it feels less severe. Let me just go over. Rav Arye Kaplan wrote an amazing 2-volume work called.
I understand why the rabbis have such an issue that Yeshua wrote the last episode if it was from God. Why is it so bad for them to if he wrote or whatever?
Because of the difference between Moshe. The difference between Moshe and Yeshua.
Yeah, it's Yeshua and not me.
So, I agree. David, you know what? There could be 2 answers to that question. One answer is the dogmatic answer, that it's impossible that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't write all the Pesukim. The other answer is what Rabbi Shimon actually says, which is that the Torah says that he wrote the book until the end and then put it into the Ark. Meaning it's a pshat question, a pshat problem. Meaning Rabbi Shimon would say, I have no problem saying that you're sure with the Sefer Torah, but that's not what the Torah says. So, I don't know. The Or HaChaim doesn't. The Or HaChaim's position was no. Moshe wrote everything, because Chas v'Chalila. Once you start down that road, everything opens up. Yeah. Right. So Rabbi Arye Kaplan wrote a 2-volume work called The Handbook of Jewish Thought. Has anybody ever seen it?
Yeah.
They're amazing. These are amazing works, and he kind of goes through just basic thoughts, basic principles in Jewish thought that people just haven't thought about really, and he gives makarot for everything. It's clear to me that he wrote this whole thing by heart, even though the footnotes are ridiculous, because there's no way he was sitting there looking everything up one by one. There was just no way. He didn't have enough time in his life. You know what, he died at like 40 and wrote about 40 books, and he was a nuclear physicist and whatever, crazy genius. So he kind of records what happens in the aftermath. What happens after?
What did he die? Was it cancer?
I don't know, actually. I don't know. There's a YouTube video of him. You can see him talking. He was interviewed by somebody. It's pretty cool. Okay, God always dictated the Torah. Okay, so we talked about this a little bit last time. Before his death, Moshe wrote 13 Torah scrolls. 12 of these were given to the 12 tribes, and the 13th was placed in the Aron. Right? That's the Sefer HaTumam. This was eventually deposited in the Holy of Holies in the temple. This last Torah was the standard by which all other scrolls were judged. It was occasionally removed from the Ark for this purpose. So originally they always had this Torah that was there to be a corrective for future Sifrei Torah. There were times that the Torah was almost lost. A number of Israelite kings had attempted to uproot or change the teaching of the Torah. Thus, during the reign of Ahaz, many Torah scrolls were destroyed. Because of this, the Kohanim hid the Torah written by Moshe in order to safeguard it. So that's bad news. They hid it, right? Later, during the reign of Menashe, efforts to destroy the Torah were so successful that the existence of the Torah written by Moshe had to be concealed from all but a dedicated few. It was only later, during the reign of Yoshiah, that this Torah was found hidden in the temple. That's why it says, Chilkiah, the Kohen, found the book of God's Torah in Moshe's hand. That's what it says in Divrei Yamim. King Yoshiah used this as an occasion to rededicate the people to the observance of the Torah. So it was kind of lost, and then Yoshiah brought it back out. Then, when Jerusalem was in danger of invasion, Yoshiah hid the ark containing the original Torah and the tablets of the Ten Commandments. Right, that was the original Torah, right? The Moshe Torah that we had talked about. It was concealed in a catacomb that had been prepared by King Solomon when he had first built the temple. It is still there today. Now, this is an interesting comment to say it's still there today. It's actually Machlokes Tanaim about whether it's still there today. At the 8 o'clock minyan, I spoke about this. The Rambam paskins that it's still there today. Which is interesting, because it's a historical question. Whether it's there today is a question of history. So why does he paskin that way? Because the Rambam, Rav Shechter, quotes Rabbi Soloveitchik, is saying that the reason is because the Rambam believes that the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash is still the same now as it was in the first Beis HaMikdash. And he claims that it relies on the fact that the Aron HaKodesh is still there. That's what kind of generates the Kedusha. So that's why he's adamant that there is still an Aron HaKodesh there, because if it wasn't, then there wouldn't be the Kedusha there. And Rabbi Soloveitchik uses
being in the
underneath. It's somewhere there. It's somewhere in the area. This is why Rabbi Soloveitchik believes that the Aron Kodesh is what gives us a Beit Knesset, its sanctity. Like that's what qualifies it as being a real Beit Knesset. During the Galus Bavel, there was a decline in knowledge of the Torah, and intermarriage made headway, and many people forgot the Torah. When Ezra and Nehemiah returned to the Holy Land, they restored the Torah to its original place. Ezra also wrote a letter-perfect Torah scroll to be used as a standard. We talked about this last time when we talked about how Ezra wrote the little things on the top, and that's when he rewrote it. Look, in terms of the integrity of the Torah, this is probably the weak point. This is where everybody jumps in and says, okay, so Ezra is basically rewriting the Torah from scratch. Now, Chazal say Ezra was so great that he was ra'ui that the Torah should be given to him. Right? So they wanted, you know, to kind of confer upon him. Yeah, he switched the typescript. Tav Ivri, I think, the Tav Ishris. Ashuris, yeah, which is what it is now. So that's kind of where the most radical change potentially could be. Because the whole generation of Ezra is shrouded in mystery. You know, it says over there, it says in Ezra that they kept Sukkot like they had never kept Sukkot since the time of Yehoshua. Which is a weird thing to say.
He was
awesome. It's Ezra. That's why we named my son Ezra.
And also, at that point, they didn't have Moshe's Torah scroll compared to as well.
It would seem.
It was hidden.
Yeah. They definitely didn't have Moshe's Torah scroll anymore, for sure. So how did Ezra do it is, you know,
did a lot of things.
Presumably with Ruach HaKodesh.
He cleaned the Kohanim. He cleaned
Ezra was the man. That's it. Next time, you guys want to talk about electricity?
You said you've already done that.
That's it. No, you were going to, and then someone came up.